Actually, I think it's a kick forwards into the right.
That's intentional runner. It's going to get there. Oh, excuse me. Look at this one.
This could be close. This could be really close.
Oh, it's going. Oh, okay, sorry, I was not looking when it started. That's a great way to lead into the final recording of February, even though we have an extra day this month. Coming to you on a Monday evening. Andrew, how are we feeling? How's the week started? How's the weekend? Give me everything.
Yeah, happy Monday. Good start to the week. I'm here. I got the match open on my other screen presented by Capital One. We'll talk about that. I think it's kind of nice to have that on a Monday night. Obviously, that's what the TGL is. That's going to be their coveted slot. So it's cool to get a preview of that. Yeah, what about you?
Yeah, Monday nights without football. Obviously, we haven't had Monday night football in a while, but like, the Bruins suck. I hate the NBA, and college basketball is usually off on Mondays. So having the match is huge. No, if there's no Bruins game, I'm just going to the gym, which is fine. But I would much rather watch Rose Zhang play with Rory McIlroy. Certainly a much more enjoyable evening.
100%. Speaking of the gym, you just reminded me, I've got a goals update to give you, which is that I'm halfway through season one of West Wing.
Oh God, give me a take. Give me an early take.
So we're making progress there. I mean, it takes so far. I think just like the 90s, early 2000s were so different. It's such a simpler time.
It's much simpler.
It made me like nostalgic, honestly, just for, you know, whatever the discussion is, like no smartphones, people were just more, I mean, this is obviously a TV show, but they felt like there was just more in touch with reality.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, the relationships, I think who is it? Aaron Sorkin. His writing is always so good. And then they definitely make a big point to sort of do all of these very long camera shots where it's like, filming this one group walking, sort of they don't cut from that when another group starts coming in the room talking. So I'm loving it. I'm excited to sort of see where it goes.
The camera work is very good. Season one, season two is better. Season one gets a little, like, it all is preachy. It's a preachy show by its nature.
Oh, yeah.
But season one really, really steers into it at certain times to, like, draw in its target audience. Yeah, season two is where you get a little more gritty.
Yeah, it also made me realize my other big takeaway is just, I think it's insane to, like, go into politics as, like, your job.
Crazy.
Like, what a bizarro world that you must live in if, like, this is like the constraints and the way that you think about things is, I mean, I'm sure the same is true for everyone, but like, it's definitely very foreign for me to even like imagine sort of what their days are spent on.
Ridiculous. Like I also, I could never give up tweeting. Like if I were, this is not an issue that like Josh Lyman would have had, but that guy would have said some bad stuff in Twitter replies.
Yeah.
Had it been around. And I say, you know, I like to get active. Like, there's no way I could have a political career with, like, tweeting memes about a mouse for NVIDIA earnings. Like, it just wouldn't work.
I don't know how anyone has a political career.
I don't think anyone in my generation will. I think my generation will be the first one with no politicians, like when we're of age.
Yeah. The whole idea of like having a clean, not just like a clean record, but like no dirt on social media or anything like that. Just,
it's impossible.
I don't know where that ends up, but it's, I think, inevitable that that's going to, the whole system's going to blow up.
No, it's impossible. But I'm glad to hear you're making through it. We are watching in this apartment the Dynasty, which is another, you know, 90s, early 2000s nostalgia piece. Episodes one and two, fantastic. It brought, I mean, I cried immediately in episode one. I think Tom Brady makes me cry a lot, but episode one was great. Three and four sucked. Hand up, just like the pacing is bad. It's a classic, like if you have a book, you should just really just enjoy the book and not watch what they make out of the show, because the pacing is awful. They skip two Super Bowls right into Spygate. It's a total hack job. Everyone looks like shit. Disrespectful
to
Mr. Kraft.
Did you read the book?
Disrespectful to Bill. Like, sorry, but
I had heard about the show. I'm looking it up now. It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, The Dynasty. That's insane.
Yeah. It's, I mean, see, episodes one and two were awesome. Like, footage that I had never seen, really interesting. Episode three, like, I think they just screwed the pacing. Episode two ends with Bledsoe getting hurt, or Brady getting hurt in the AFC Championship game. And I'm like, oh, awesome. This will be a great long look at the AFC title game in 01. Boom. The Super Bowl is over within 5 minutes of that episode. And then it's just like the aftermath. And then all of a sudden it's Spygate and they skip two Super Bowls. It's like, all right. Like, glad that we are all taking in lots of good content on TV. We're on version 9 of the match. How are we feeling about it continuing to drone on? This one is exciting. There's a lot of good stuff about this one, but where do we stand overall about the match?
It's a really good question. Has it always been Capital One? I think it has been, right? It's always been like Capital One's the match. I sort of am still curious as to like what the point is, or like who is this for? That's probably where I'm at right now. Like I like the idea of there being this event. I love that it's, you know, mixed women's and men's golf playing together. I sort of wish there was a little bit more like continuity. Like why are these the people that were picked? Like, is it'd be cool if there was like, you know, they want something to get in, or like it's, we know it's this group this year and there's like a league or some version of this not being like just so ad hoc. I like that they're playing at night. That's probably the coolest thing, is that like they're doing this night golf event on a Monday. Again, football's over. They sort of have this slot. This is like the slot that the TGL was basically like invented to fill. So that's clearly what they're just experimenting with, is like, does this get people to watch something? I don't know. What do you think?
I completely agree. Like, it does feel so random when it pops up, like even just the timing. I have no issue. Like, they picked four awesome people. I'm not the biggest like Lexi guy in the world, but they really do a good job of picking members. But it's like, why? Like, why this Monday? Is it going to be once a month? Is it every six? Like, it truly, I don't know what the schedule is. If it is a precursor to what like the TGL will be, like, this is great. Like, a season-long thing of mixed golf, night golf. I know the TGLs will be indoors, but like some sort of continuity would be good. But yeah, night golf is cool. I think that's fun. They're playing at a actual good venue for the first time. The park, it seems to be awesome based on the brief Golf Digest and Fried Egg content and I've taken in about it. But yeah, overall it's like I'll tune in, sure, but truly only if there's nothing else on. Like, I would never choose this over like an important Celtics or Bruins game. I would like maybe a Red Sox game, but it does have to be the only thing available for me to choose it.
Yeah, it probably like shouldn't be on TV. Like it almost should just be on like a YouTube or like Twitter live. Yeah. Like I almost think, because like where I think they get into trouble is like overproducing these things.
Yeah.
And I think the cool thing about the match is like you sort of get a couple players mic'd up. It's very low key. Like if it doesn't mean anything in terms of like the who wins, or I assume there's some money on the line. But like if it's just like the sort of behind the scenes of how players normally are, then you probably don't. It doesn't need to be on like TNT presented by Capital One. But no. Who knows? I mean, they're playing literally right now. I think they're like on hole three or four. So I'll finish it after we end recording, and maybe I'll change my mind. But yeah, I'm glad they're doing it.
Yeah, it would be like the foreplay like versus or like a Torah sauce, like that's content that I take in all the time. Like I'm always watching those. That's all I need. I don't need Charles Barkley. I don't need the sponsor like charity events. I just need the five golfers or the four golfers. That's what we're watching for. So more move towards that. Devolution is always good.
They need to hire Mr. Beast or something.
Somebody just like move things along. Yeah.
Totally.
Speaking of golf on YouTube, that you know probably was better on YouTube than it is on the CW. Pretty big week for LIV. Obviously, this is unrelated to LIV. Joaquin Neiman has some people say earned his spot in the Masters, but that was the big news for last week, that Chairman Ridley and the board at Augusta has extended an invitation to Joaquin. I'm happy about it. I don't know how you feel. I think it's a great move. I definitely think it's the right move. I'm not sure if it would have happened if he hadn't been so vocal like about wanting to play. Like I don't think Augusta would have gone out of its way to invite him if he didn't win a few weeks ago and make those statements. But I do think it's good for the game. Like I have no issue with Joaquin being there.
Yeah, I'm happy Joaquin's playing. He's awesome. I mean, he's like a young star, right? So those are the people that you want in playing in the majors, especially even just, you know, we're thinking about the match, like to get the high school, the middle school, like audience, like to get young kids to watch the Masters, it's probably more important to have like Joaquin Neiman than it is to have like Dustin Johnson or, 100%. You know, some of the like, whatever, like the Ian Poulters who are on LIV. Like those guys, I really don't think they matter at all. Joaquin definitely does. Like his future is still very much ahead of him. They were smart, I think, about sort of wording it, you know, in terms of like, this had nothing to do with his performance on LIV. It was related to his win in Australia and kind of this, I don't know if this was totally qualitative, but they basically just said he's the best player or representative of South America, kind of like the Latin American game. And like, that's important sort of in its own right, just from like the global context of golf. So that was, I thought that was good. And yeah, I'm definitely glad he's playing.
Yeah, that, I'm not at all surprised that Mr. Ridley was able to word his way around that. Disrespectful to Angel Cabrera to say that he's not the star and best representative of South American golf, but you know, who's to really judge that situation? But yeah, no, they did it very well, and I think overall
that's totally fair.
Is a good precedent for them to do it in the future. You know, if Dustin Johnson, well, I guess he's a winner, so you can never not invite him. But this is a great setup for Cam Smith always having a Masters invite, Rory, if he falls out of the, you know, to take the opposite tact, if he falls out of world ranking points and doesn't get the win, always having a Masters invite as the global ambassador and a true invitational for the game. So very good job by them. Maybe they can use this to leverage Anthony Kim to the Masters as well. I don't know if he has the global ambassador status that Joaquin does or really anyone else does. but it seems to be a done deal. The Liv won't come out and say it, but he definitely seems to be on the tee sheet for Jeddah this week or next, whenever their next tournament is.
Yeah, I think next week. It's cool. Is he on one of the teams? That's what I
actually
don't know.
I think I believe I read that Mr. Norman is inviting him as like an invite, like just an exhibition at the exhibition. He'll be playing as an individual.
Yeah. What is do they normally do
kinda
that?
Kind of like the six. Like, he didn't make his college roster this semester, so he's, I don't know if they've been doing this. I don't know enough about their structure, if there have just been random individuals floating around. He's playing under, yeah. He's like an Olympic athlete from Russia. He's not a representative of Russia. You know, he's playing under his own flag this week. But I don't know how perfect normal that is, or if they're making a big exception.
Yeah. He's not playing on a team. It just feels super random, and I'm sure he's getting paid incredibly handsomely for the privilege. So I have no idea. I mean, I don't expect him to be very good, and I don't expect it to like do anything ratings wise. So it feels like a total like stunt. I think if he was serious about coming back to golf, he wouldn't go to Live. Like,
no.
And I don't know if he like needs the money or whatever. And I don't really like care. But like, if this was like he was making a comeback, it's very clear that that path would make more sense on the PGA Tour. So this is definitely just like a stunt, is at least how I'm currently thinking about it.
Yeah, there's no way he'll be in competitive shape. And you're spot on. I won't be tuning into Live to catch all of Anthony Kim's shots. Like, I'll watch the highlights and it'll be interesting, but it's not going to sway. If it's not going to sway you and I, it's certainly not going to sway the normal golf fan who probably doesn't remember. I mean, I barely remember the Anthony Kim PGA Tour era. So like, it's fun. Yeah. It's exciting, but it'll be nothing more than Twitter videos for most people.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. So, like, I do remember Anthony Kim being like a young stud on the PGA Tour, but he was never anything like the next Tiger or sort of what people try to make him out to be. Like, he was an awesome player who was like fun to watch and had like a cool personality, but he wasn't any sort of like global sensation from a golf perspective. No, the other thing that you just mentioned, that's interesting, which is true for Liv always, is like, to the extent that I care about seeing any part of it in my brain, I can always bank that I'll just end up seeing it on Twitter. Like, there's no version where like I actually have to tune in, especially because they've made it very clear that like following along with the story, which is the reason that why you would watch like a 3-hour PGA Tour broadcast, is because it's like there's a story that you don't get if you just catch the Twitter highlights. Liv like is built for Twitter. Like, that's if it's just sort of like the clips, which is not good for them from like a building an engagement or an engaging product.
The PGA Tour, to its maybe discredit, they will never tweet exciting things from their own production. So you kind of are tied to watching it live if you truly want to see everything. So they've got you there. It's maybe backwards why they have you, but they do have you. Speaking of, you know, maybe PGA Tour events that did not draw the attention of most of the golfing world, the Mexico Open this past weekend, shout out to Jake Knapp, just got his card last year after a pretty dominant, very strong Korn Ferry Tour season. Don't have much to say about the tournament, but it is very cool that he's sponsored by the artist formerly known as the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Got us thinking about maybe some of our ideal sponsors. I think if I was from SoCal, the Ducks would be my ideal sponsor. I would ask for them to put the good logo on my shirt, not the new terrible one. But very cool to see someone get to like have their favorite team as a sponsor. Obviously, Kevin Streelman, being an MLB guy, is up there for me. Charlie Hoffman being a waste management guy is an awesome one. But any sponsors that if you could make it, you would need on your hat or your chest?
I think for me, it would purely be like some version of like local businesses.
Yeah.
I would love to get like my hometown deli, like on the shirt, or like the corner bar. This place, I'm in San Francisco, this place, Balboa Cafe, would be absolutely electric to have as a sponsor. I think just it would be like a total inside joke, but I would love it.
I completely am with you. I have, so like, shout out to AJ Waste. No free ads, but AJ Waste is the best waste management system in Connecticut. They are certainly what I would choose over waste management. But yeah, same way. Definitely like Blackie's Hot Dog Stand. Credits the Black family for all they do for Cheshire. But I would also want like, I would want the Coca-Cola logo. Like, I think that's just a good logo. I don't think a lot of, like a Coca-Cola Titleist hat is the same kind of scripting. It would kind of just look like a Titleist hat that you customized in your garage to say Coca-Cola. That would be a pretty cool. I also drink like way too much Coke. I think that would be my like perfect title sponsor. And would look good with a lot of red outfits. So I think that's my dream one.
That's a really good one. Actually, now you're making me think how similar are those fonts? We might have to do something on a t-shirt with that.
I like our own version of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think a lot of touring pros are not thinking enough about what their logo is going to look like. The same way that a lot of Premier League teams really sometimes miss or nail it with their title sponsor.
Yeah.
Like Carlsberg looked great on Liverpool Red, but most of the time the title sponsor stinks. Like DeWalt on the side of a Malbon hat is terrible. Like it just doesn't look good.
Dude, I was just thinking about Cantlay. Now you're making me think what really has to happen is he has to get like a Patagonia vest sponsorship.
He does. It's crazy that he has
his entire vibe.
I don't know if he doesn't strike me as the guy who's like in tune with internet jokes. It's crazy that no one on his team has told him to do that yet. Like the AirPods vest look would be very funny for him to roll up to tournaments dressed in. Just like show one bit of personality, just once.
Yeah. God, that would be so good. You know, Patagonia, funny enough, I think this might be true. Maybe it's not. I heard that they stopped doing custom orders for like finance firms because like they actually
don't
like that. It's like Patagonia is actually a sick company and they have this like negative association of being like this like asshole vest for finance guys.
Yeah, we can't. I want one, but no one at my company past like 2021 has them because they canceled the order.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So honestly, like, good for them. Fuck those guys. good for them. We will quickly check into the college world. We're in the process of getting a good understanding of where to find all these stats. We're not the only ones. There's a lot of tumult in the college golf stat keeping world right now, but was cycling through Golf Stat just before we jumped on. A few things caught my eye. We've got the Loyola Intercollegiate just wrapped up day two today, day three tomorrow. North Dakota State, the Bison, are at the top of the leaderboard with a 4-stroke team lead, you know, over the hosts Loyola Maryland, Northern Colorado, Seton Hall, Howard, Drake, some schools maybe you don't think of as powerhouses in the college golf world, but definitely schools I think of as warm. So we always like to see
for sure
the northern schools pulling their weight in the golfing world. Also wanted to shout out that the roster is full of Northerners. It's a bunch of guys from Minnesota and then one guy from Fargo. So these are some true grit factories, like playing indoors, sucking up winter golf. And yeah, we love to see success at the highest level for them.
I mean, I wonder if there you could get an edge here. I gotta look at the, I gotta do more research on the college golf sort of odds these days with where the betting markets are at. But if you take into account the, you know, the colleges up north, they're way better prepared for February golf than
100%.
I think other teams, I mean, I think this tournament is in Arizona, but still, like, I'm sure the ground's a little bit firmer. Like, yeah, that, there's some edge there that if you're playing out of North Dakota State, you're ready to rock.
You're ready to rock. Like this, I don't know if my dog Rylan is, it doesn't seem like he's in the lineup this week, but now I'm deep in the North Dakota roster. Rylan Petrie is from Fertile, Minnesota, went to Fertile Beltrami High School, and then played his freshman year at Bemidji State, which I didn't know had college sports outside of hockey, and was a freak there, and then transferred up to the D1 level. That kid is going to beat your ass November through February 9 times out of 10, and that's what we love to see.
Yeah, but we're gonna have
very,
to get
very interesting.
We're gonna have to get some of these guys, especially North Dakota State, to come on the pod.
Yeah, I think it's still, I think so interesting. Ryan's gonna be
perfect. I still also, like, we're gonna have someone hopefully come on in the next couple of weeks and give us the lowdown of how to make sense of the college golf world, which both of us, you know, we're familiar with having played college golf, you know, albeit pretty terribly. But it's so interesting also just to think about, like, I don't even know if what conference you're in, like, matters at all with some of these tournaments.
No idea.
It's all over the place.
Looking at maybe some of the more brand name college golf tournaments and schools that happened last week and are currently ongoing in like Las Vegas, and last week's was the Water Sound Invitational. It doesn't seem to matter throughout most of the season. Like right now in Vegas, you know, we've got Oklahoma, UNC, Florida, San Diego State, ASU, Pepperdine, all playing in one tournament. So it doesn't seem to be that broken down by conference until you get to the actual conference tournament season. It really just seems like wherever the warm weather is, the big names have to go. Apparently Monday through Wednesday also. I don't know how that works with your class schedule, but it doesn't seem to really be segmented out by conference. Really more regional and weather driven, which makes a ton of sense, but like, you would never see North Dakota State playing Howard in any other sport, which is what's going on right now at the Loyola Marymount or Loyola Maryland Invitational. So,
yeah, it's pure chaos. We will get to the bottom of it. But
somebody has to
expect more to come.
Yeah. Another, you know, pure chaos can lead us right into the PGA Tour. We've got the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches. The full name of this tournament being the Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches is not the best branding by the PGA Tour. No. I think we could have done better. Just leaving it at the Cognizant Classic might have worked. Cognizant, I guess, has to be in the name as the title sponsor, but calling it the Cognizant Classic doesn't really fire up much emotion for me. It's probably the most corporate entity. You know, Cap Gemini is probably on the schedule next week. I haven't looked yet, but
yeah, it's a tough one. This is that now slightly awkward swing. We kind of finished up West Coast. We did Mexico this past weekend. Now we're in Florida. The Cognizant Classic is, I have heard good things about the Palm Beach Gardens course.
Yeah.
I think it's like the PGA National one. And Rory's playing. I think he's actually won there before. So it should be better than the Mexico Open, I think, from a competitive perspective. But
yeah,
It's definitely probably not must watch TV for the majority of golf fans out there.
No, if Rory doesn't find himself in the mix on a Sunday, it's going to be a skip for, like you said, most casual viewing. But definitely more interesting than what we were able to see in Mexico. And don't want to discredit, like, it's tough to be so PGA Tour, so supportive of the PGA Tour and talk about how important it is to, you know, work your way up from the bottom and have a merit-based system when, and then turn around and look at the merit-based tournaments and say, I'm never going to watch that. So do want to shout out that both the Cooties are playing. A lot of journeymen will be teeing off. Obviously, my Canadian hitters, Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith, will be teeing up. So there's always storylines to look for in these.
Well, dude, we were talking about this last week. They need to run with that more. Like, the same thing with, like, Jake Knapp winning last week. Like, that is, you know, maybe not great in the short term from, like, a viewer's perspective and people don't know who he is, but you want characters, you want to build up some of those profiles of the lesser-known guys. Like, I think it's totally fine to lean into that and not – as long as you're not, like, yeah, pretending like this is some sort of designated signature extra special event, like, you kind of take it for what it is. And if you let those stories, like, emerge somewhat organically, I think that can actually be a very good thing for them.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that is usually what ends up happening. I think the PGA Tour has run into a string of luck in the last 2 years that they haven't needed to manufacture any storylines. Like, just how mm-hmm. the system is set up will usually provide real intrigue about, like, human drama. Whether or not anyone knows who Jake Knapp is, like, working your way off the Korn Ferry Tour into being a winner on the PGA Tour in one season is, like, really incredible. Maybe the PGA Tour could do a better job of, like, explaining this to me in baseball terms. Of saying, like, yeah, this guy worked his way out of AAA and is seeing success in the MLB, but they do have a very, very nice system for, you know, promoting smaller storylines. And hopefully we get something like that this week. I think, you know, if all else fails, Rory should walk the field with walk the floor with about everyone in this field. So maybe we'll get a nice Rory win, but it'd be nice to see Denny McCarthy get a win. There are some names that will be participating. So
there are some names. By the way, shout out to Matt Pavon. I just realized he's the number one, at least FedEx Cup wise, ranked player in the world right now. It's stunning, stunning to see that. I assume that kind of just goes to show how many of the top players haven't played in a few of these last events, but. Dude, the Frenchman is balling right now. So good for him.
Yeah, not even – I mean, I know we can almost throw OWGR out the window right now, but, like, 26th in that ranking as well is obviously due to some outside factors, but it's much harder to artificially inflate that ranking just by winning a PGA Tour event. So, like, he has been kicking around and playing good golf. It's not like he's just running up FedEx points on the fall schedule. Like, the OWR shows that he's not messing around. If I honestly, like, Victor Perez not being the Frenchman of choice on the PGA Tour is a major upset in my book. As a guy who has somewhat tried to follow the DP World Tour for a few years, I thought Victor would be the great Blanc hope, but unfortunately his game has not translated yet in the United States.
No.
But
who? I mean, I'm just looking at who else is here. It actually is pretty interesting. I don't know. Scotty's not playing. I feel like it's just those top US guys that aren't playing. Like, I know Scotty, I don't think Cantlay, I don't think Shoffley, which is interesting. Is Zalatoris playing? No. That's too bad. So
No.
You sort of are missing a few like of the top of U.S. talent. Break. Yeah. But anyways, I think it will be probably something worth tuning into on Sunday. So we'll stay tuned for that.
Yeah. No, we're definitely poised, hopefully, for a like kind of a big name versus a life-changing win scenario. Like where it's kind of like, do I root for Justin Rose because I have always liked Justin Rose throughout my life? Or am I rooting for Chase Johnson, who got in on a sponsor's exemption to like change his family's life? And the PGA Tour is fun for that reason, because you get put in that situation more than any other tour that currently offers professional golf on television. So looking forward to it. Very much looking forward to catching the rest of the match once we log off here, and heavily looking forward to seeing if North Dakota State can hold on tomorrow in Maryland. I don't want to knock on wood, but four strokes is nothing in these 5-man fields. Anything could go wrong in a college golf tournament. So we'll be keeping our eye on the Loyola Intercollegiate tomorrow.
Yeah, let's go Bison.
It's in Arizona also. I don't know why it's called the Loyola Intercollegiate. I guess they're still a host, but it's certainly not occurring in Maryland. College golf is a weird place. I got nothing else. Let's go watch the match and have a good night or afternoon. The top. Ooh, la, 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 la. Chip, puck, you know what's the big whoop? When I play my game, and then I make my mama proud. Woo. Smash, bang, you gotta hit the ball far. Then the crowd goes, woo. Then you hear the ooh, la, 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 la. Treat, treat. I want my birdies all day long. Let the bogeys go.